Today is the last day of Mahabharata seminar. Actually, we wanted to do it in 5 into 2, 10 sessions, but we couldn't make that. And I think so far we had only 6 sessions. Today is the 7th one. And anyway, I'll try to go through the main parts of the Mahabharata, going through the the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. That's where we try to come to. We have done only the first day of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Bhishma Parva. And first and second day, yeah. Bhishma became the general and the battle of Kurukshetra began. Now, on the third day, actually all the time, Duryodhan was just accusing Bhishma and Drona and Kripacharya that they were not really fighting seriously enough because of their leniency towards the Pandavas. And in this way, Duryodhana was always trying to provoke them. And so then on the third day, when after the second days of war, when Duryodhana provoked Bhishma in this way, then Bhishma told that, okay, tomorrow I will show you. And always he would also tell them that, Duryodhana, all along I told you that Pandavas are invincible. No one can kill them. But you didn't listen to my words. And if you are that, great a hero, as you are claiming yourself to be, then why don't you fight and defeat them? Why are you putting the blame on us? Just you fight and defeat them. We are trying our best. What are you doing? And this way the whole situation was becoming very, very tense. And on the third day, Bhishma became so fighting so valiantly, so powerfully. He was destroying the Pandava army in thousands. And then he attacked Krishna and Arjun. And now, incidentally, Arjun also took a vow that he would kill Bhishma. And Krishna was telling Arjun that, Arjun, you are not fighting powerfully enough. What is the matter with you? But Arjun, on the other hand, admitted that he doesn't feel like this battle. And especially when he was seeing that so many of his relatives are dying, and so it's actually a very pathetic situation. Like, Arjun had such a deep relationship with Bhishma, and so did Bhishma towards Pandavas. Like, it has been when they came back, when the father died, Pandu died, and the sages brought them from the Himalayas to Hastinapur, they were all little children. Bhishma actually reared them up like their father. And for years, for a long time, they used to think that Bhishma was their father. Such a deep relationship they had. And even with Duryodhana, although Duryodhana was so envious and all, but they had days, they grew up playing with each other from their childhood. So this was a very, very critical critical test for all of them actually to fight this battle. So on the third day, Bhishma was fighting in such a fierce way, like Arjun's life was threatened because of his attack. So at that time, Krishna couldn't tolerate that. Krishna just stopped the chariot. He dropped the rein of Arjun's horses, jumped out of the chariot, and he called his Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan Chakra immediately appeared in his hand, and he was running towards Bhishma. His yellow chadar, uttariya, when he was running, it was flying, and his hair was disheveled. His hair also, his crown was off his head, and his hair was already had a reddish tinge from the dust of the battlefield. And Krishna just ran to attack Bhishma. And at that time Arjun jumped out of the chariot also, and he tried to stop Krishna. But he couldn't stop Krishna. Krishna was so enraged. Then finally Arjun actually got hold of his legs. And this is how he stopped, and he kept on telling Krishna, "Krishna, you took a vow that you won't use any weapon in this war." And this is how Arjun managed to stop Krishna. And on the other hand, Bhishma, he dropped his weapons and he said, "Krishna, if this is what you want, if you want to kill me, I would consider this the most wonderful achievement of my life. So please feel free to annihilate me. Because I know if I am killed by you, that will be the perfection of my life." So, in this way, the battle of Kurukshetra was going on. The interesting thing that happened on the fourth day of the battle, actually battle of Kurukshetra lasted for 18 days. And in that, important event on the fourth day of the battle is Bhima killed 7 of Dhritarashtra's sons. Bhima actually took a vow to kill all 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. And that's why the Pandavas, even though they could kill Dhritarashtra's sons, they wouldn't kill him because Bhima took a vow. So left them to be killed by Bhima. So, and Bhima was sometimes he would just jump out of his chariot. So actually, one of the strategy when you read Mahabharata, you would see that when they could not deal directly, defeat the person directly, then they would kill the horses and kill the charioteer and break the chariot of the Rathis. Rathis and Maharathis, they fight on chariots. So they would, and one of the things also they would do, they would cut the flagpole. So that's a disgrace now. It's a kind of a defeat. So when the chariot would be broken like that, then either they would come down of the chariot and some other charioteer would come and pick them up, and or they would jump into another person's chariot. Like that they would be fighting. So sometimes the Kaurava warriors killed Bhima's chariot and chariot driver and killed the horses. So Bhima was without a chariot. But then Bhima would come out of the jump out of the chariot, and he would just fight with his mess. And he was even more ferocious when he is on his foot than on his chariot. Like he would with the strike of his, when he would get enraged in that kind of situation, he would be smashing the chariots, killing the soldiers and the charioteers, along with the elephants, not in one or two or even in scores, in hundreds they would kill them. I mean, this battle was actually inconceivable. Once Bhishma himself took a vow that every day he would kill 10,000 Kaurava soldiers, Kaurava warriors. I'm sorry, Pandava warriors. He would kill 10,000 Pandava warriors. And sometimes he killed 40,000. And towards the later part of the day, it may sound impossible, but they were killing 100,000 and more. And so we have to consider the number of soldiers that were assembled there, like 18 Akshahini soldiers. And anyway, we can't go into the details of the war so much, so we are just touching the important events. And on the 8th day of the battle, after the 7th day, on the 8th day of the battle, like when Kauravas, Duryodhan was seeing that the way Arjun was slaughtering the Kaurava soldiers, like, and they were no match. Initially he thought that in a day or two the battle will be over, because the kind of warriors they had in their side, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Karna, and Pandavas, and first of all, their Pandava army was practically half of the Kauravas. Kaurava had 11 Akshohini, and Pandava had only 7 Akshohini. And Kaurava side, there was so many invincible warriors. Bhishma was, nobody could kill him. Drona, nobody could kill him. But Dronacharya, before the battle started, the night before the battle started, he was made the general, he was made the commander, in chief of the army. Dronacharya kept on forecasting about the future. Dronacharya also was a great astrologer, and he could read the signs. He was a very expert person that way. So he told Duryodhan, that Duryodhan, you are thinking that we all are invincible. Bhishma is invincible, I am invincible, Ashwatthama is invincible, Karna is the greatest archer. But the reality is, we all are destined to die in some way or other. And the arrangement has already been made. You can see. Drishtadyumna appeared from the sacrificial fire to kill me. And he is siding with Pandavas. Shikhandi is destined to kill Bhishma. Shikhandi is there in their side. Karna is a great warrior, but you have seen Arjun in many ways. Arjun was better than Karna. You are counting on Karna, but you have seen that Karna has been defeated by Arjun many a times. But not a single occasion Arjun has been defeated by anyone. So please take note of these facts. So Dronacharya told Duryodhan before the battle started. And then he also reminded them that on the other hand, Pandavas are the 5 sons of 5 demigods. So they cannot be killed, because they are the offspring of the demigods. And on top of that, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is on their side. So how can you ever think of winning this battle? But Duryodhana's thing was, you are always praising Arjun, you are always praising Pandavas. Like, this is the nature of an envious person. He can't see things straight. He can't see things the way it is. And at one time, Bhishma told Duryodhana that just like a day, just before dying, a person sees everything upside down. He just mentioned that thing, they see things in a reverse way. So the same thing is happening with you. You are not seeing things straight. So, now on the eighth day, Karna, Dushasan, Shakuni and Duryodhan along with Karna, Shakuni and Dushasan, these four of them were a team. In all their nefarious activities, in all their nefarious plans, these four characters were always together. They would come out with all kinds of very, very abominable strategies and plans. So Karna, before the battle started, probably you remember, Karna took a vow that as long as Bhishma is in the battle, he is not going to fight the battle. So Karna backed out. So they were, after the war, in the evening, at night, when they all got together, these four, they had a meeting, and in that meeting, they decided that Karna actually told that Duryodhana, Bhishma, just ask Bhishma to step down, then I'll come into the battle, and I will show them. I will wipe out all the Pandavas. And so Duryodhana said, okay, I will go. So he went, Duryodhana went along with his brothers to Bhishma, and he again kept on accusing Bhishma of being partial and not fighting properly against the Pandavas. So once again, Bhishma just laid it on him. But at the end of the thing, Bhishma told him that okay, tomorrow you will see. That tomorrow the way we'll fight, I will fight, it will be recorded in the history as one of the greatest events in the warfare. And true, Bhishma, the way he was fighting, as I was telling, at that time, Bhishma slaughtered more than a few hundred thousand soldiers. And these are not just ordinary soldiers. These are Rathis and Maharathis. And so again Krishna again was furious. He was about to kill Bhishma. Again Arjuna stopped Krishna. So on the ninth day Krishna again tried to, again was about to kill Bhishma. So then, after that day's war, Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthir, let's go to Bhishma and find out from him how we'd be able to kill him. So Yudhishthir and the Pandavas, along with Krishna, went to Bhishma. And he asked, Grandfather, will you please tell us how we can kill him? And so he told them that he told the whole story about Amba and how she gave up her body with a vow to kill Bhishma, and then he appeared as the son, as the daughter of Drupad, Shikhandi, and then he changed his sex, and Shikhandi is actually a woman. And Bhishma had a vow that he would never take any weapon, he won't take any weapon against any woman. He won't use any weapon against any woman. So since Shikhandi was a woman who was transformed into a man, so he decided not to fight against Shikhandi. So he told them that secret, that if Shikhandi attacks me, then I will not retaliate. So that day they decided that Shikhandi would give all the protection and let Shikhandi attack Bhishma. So with that strategy they started the war the next day. And in that battle, actually Shikhandi, as he came with 9 arrows, he pierced Bhishma's chest. But nothing happened to Bhishma. Well, rather Bhishma became even more furious. And Arjun was telling him, Shikhandi, don't be afraid, just go ahead and fight. And Bhishma, when he saw that it was Shikhandi, he didn't retaliate. So eventually what happened, Shikhandi in the front, Arjun kept on shooting his arrows at Bhishma. And Bhishma was so pierced by so many arrows, and he already gave up. And in the meantime, the Vasus from heaven, they already came to Bhishma and told him that, Bhishma, this is the time for you to come back. So you remember Bhishma's past? He was one of the Vasus called Du, who stole the cow of Vasishtha, and as a result of that he was cursed that he would have to be in the earth planet for a long, long time. So Bhishma, as a result of that curse, he was destined to live on the planet for a long, long time. So they also came, and so Bhishma decided that he is not going to fight. So he decided to give up his body. And he took this opportunity, and Krishna was urging Arjun, Arjun, you took a vow to kill Bhishma, so this is the time. And so Arjun just kept on shooting his arrows. He shot so many arrows, and all those arrows were piercing through Bhishma's body and coming out from the other side. Bhishma at one time even told that Shikhandi's arrows don't cause me any pain. They don't affect me at all. As a matter of fact, anybody else's arrows don't really affect me. But Arjun's arrows, they only cause me pain. So anyway, so whole of Bhishma's body was pierced with arrows from Arjun. And finally Bhishma's body fell out of the chariot. When he fell out of the chariot, then he fell, he didn't touch the ground. He fell on a bed of arrows. And at that time the war stopped, and all the great generals, great personalities came to see Bhishma. And so they all were very sad that such a great hero had fell like that. So then Bhishma, you see, he was telling me that I'm feeling quite uncomfortable, that my head is hanging out of the bed. So he was sitting on a bed of, he was lying on a bed of arrows, and his head was hanging out. So he said, I want something to support this. So Kauravas, Duryodhana and his brothers immediately went and got pillows and all. Bhishma said, no, no, I don't want that kind of rest for my head. Arjun probably can arrange for my pillow. So Arjun shoot an arrow, and then he propped Bhishma's head on that arrow, on 3 arrows. So that, and Bhishma was very pleased. Bhishma at one time wanted to drink, he was talking. And another celestial voice. Anyway, Bhishma was feeling thirsty, he wanted some water. And some water was brought immediately. But Bhishma said, no, I don't want this water. And so immediately Arjuna went and he shot an arrow at the ground, and as a result of that, the water came surging from that, and Bhishma drank that. So in this way, Bhishma displayed that how Arjuna is the only one who knew his mind, because Arjuna was so dear to him. At that time, a celestial voice cried out that Bhishma is such a noble character, such a great personality. How come he is going to leave his body when the sun is moving in the southern region, Dakshinayan? So Bhishma responded by saying, "Don't worry, I know when to leave my body." And so that is, Bhishma had the boon of Ichha Mrittu. He could die at his own will. So that's why he was lying on the bed of arrows, and as you remember, when the sun came to his northern course, then only Bhishma, in an auspicious moment, left his body. So in this way, on the 10th day, after causing a massive disaster, Bhishma decided that Pandavas cannot be defeated because of Krishna's protection, and that's why he decided to leave. Bhishma knew, and when he was fighting, he could see that as long as Krishna is there, or since Krishna is there with the Pandavas, no one can defeat the Pandavas. And so then after Bhishma left, that night Duryodhan and the Kauravas selected Dronacharya to be the general. And so Dronacharya was coronated after Abhishek to become the commander-in-chief of the army. And Dronacharya again, he was also slaughtering. These personalities are so powerful, they're inconceivably powerful personalities. So Dronacharya was causing a havoc in the Pandava army. And but on that day, Abhimanyu displayed, on the 11th day, Abhimanyu was fighting in such a way that the Pandava army was slaughtering the Kaurava army. The Kaurava army was completely devastated just because of Abhimanyu's attack. And everyone started to say that Abhimanyu is no way inferior to his father. Abhimanyu was equal to Arjuna in that way. And however, on the 13th day, the Dronacharya arranged a kind of a formation called Chakra Bruha. It's a wheel formation. And in that wheel formation, actually these are the different arrangements of soldiers that the expert generals knew. And so he was causing such a massacre. And so it was Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that if he is not checked, then that by the end of the day, the entire Pandava army will be wiped out. And no one knew how to penetrate through the Chakra Bruha. The only one who knew how to penetrate through Chakra Bruha was Arjuna. But Arjun was in some other part of the battlefield where he was fighting with the Trigathas and Shamsaptaks. Those were fierce warriors and they're very difficult to deal with. And Arjun was just dealing with them or keeping them at bay. And on this other side of the battlefield, Drona was just wiping out the Pandava army. So Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that Abhimanyu knew how to enter into the Chakrabuha. So he told Abhimanyu, you know how to enter, so you go into the, go inside the Buha. And we will follow you. You penetrate and we will follow you. And that is how we will prevent them from this massacre, causing that massacre. Abhimanyu said that I know how to go in, but I don't know how to come out. So there is also another history behind that. Like, once Subhadra asked Arjun to tell her about the Chakrabuha formation and how to penetrate through the Chakrabuha. And Arjun kept on narrating that to Subhadra, explaining that to Subhadra. But at that time, Abhimanyu was in Subhadra's womb. And sitting in his mother's womb, Abhimanyu learned how to go into Chakrabuha. But then Subhadra fell asleep. When Arjun started to describe how to come out of Chakrabuha, Subhadra fell asleep. And since the baby's consciousness is connected to the mother's consciousness, Abhimanyu couldn't get that part of how to come out of the Chakrabuha. So Abhimanyu told him that I cannot come out from the Chakrabuha. I do not know how to come out. But Yudhishthira Maharaj kept on insisting that we have to do something, otherwise there is no way we will see the end of this day. So you go and we will. Bhima, myself, Nakul and Sahadev will follow you. And so Abhimanyu decided, but Abhimanyu's chariot driver also warned him that Abhimanyu, be careful because you do not know how to come out. But Abhimanyu didn't pay any heed to his warning. So Abhimanyu just charged in. But that day, Jayadrath got the boon from Lord Shiva. You remember when Jayadrath was humiliated? After stealing Draupadi, and then when Pandavas, Arjun and Bhim caught him, then they spared his life, but they humiliated him by shaving his head, which is, for a Kshatriya, which is as good as death. God, Rukmi also, Krishna shaved half of his head and half of his hair was killed. With Jayadrath, they kept 5 pieces of 5 tufts of hair, like something like 5 strands of sikhas on his head. The Kshatriyas keep long hair. Kshatriyas used to keep long hair, like the Sikhs are actually Kshatriyas, the reflection of the Kshatriyas. So they can, like they used to have long hair. So when their hair shaved off, it was a disgrace for them. So then Jayadrath performed great austerities and pleased Lord Shiva. And he wanted a boon to defeat the Pandavas. And Lord Shiva gave him the boon that Arjuna no one can defeat. So I cannot give you the boon to defeat Arjuna because I myself couldn't defeat Arjuna. But The four others, you'll be able to defeat them. One day you'll be able to defeat them. Just in one day's battle, they won't be able to. And so Jayadrath took that boon that day, and he prevented the Pandav four brothers to come inside the Chakrapuha. Abhimanyu was alone. But although he was inside the enemy army, fighting alone, but the way he was slaughtering the army, slaughtering the Kauravas, they all became alarmed. They were trying, they just couldn't stop him. Although he was inside them, they were surrounded by the enemy. But Abhimanyu was invincible. And so he was slaughtering the enemies left, right and center. And then Duryodhan told Karna to cut his bow. And Karna did that from behind. From the front he couldn't do that. And the seven Maharathis actually attacked him simultaneously. Still they couldn't defeat him. Such a valiant warrior. They cut his bow. Then finally, he started to fight with a wheel of a broken chariot. He picked up a chariot wheel and he started to fight with that. They were shooting arrows and he was deflecting all those arrows with that, and he was smashing people with that, the wheel of the chariot, and causing them to die. So then the seven Maharathis cut the wheel, and when Abhimanyu was without any weapon, then Dushasana's son came with a club, with a mace, and smashed his head. Abhimanyu died. He was only 16 years old. That day was his 16th birthday. So the entire Pandava side was extremely heartbroken. When Arjun got the news at the end of the war, at the end of the day, when the battle stopped, Arjun was informed. Arjun was extremely heartbroken. So was Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira Maharaj was in a very, very pitiable condition. He was crying and crying because he considered that he was the cause of his death, because he urged him to go in. And then when Arjun heard the whole incidents, what happened, then he took a vow that the next day he would kill Jayadrath, or if he can't kill him, then he will enter into fire and give up his life. So everyone was very alarmed, and the Kauravas became very excited. They thought that they will just somehow protect Jayadrath, and Arjun will not be able to kill him. And that way Arjun will enter into fire and give up his life. And when Arjun is gone, defeating the Pandavas won't be any problem at all. So Krishna especially became very worried. Of course, it's Krishna's pastime. He's making all the arrangements and he is playing such an innocent role as if he doesn't know what's happening or why it's happening. So Krishna called Daruka. Krishna told Daruka, get my chariot ready with all my weapons. If anything happens to Arjun, then single-handedly I'll wipe out all the Kauravas. And Daruka said, fine, I will make the arrangements. And that night, Krishna told Arjun, do you remember Mahadev gave you the Pashupat weapon, his weapon. So when he told you, whenever you need that weapon, you'll be able to. He'll give it to you. So now is the time to get the weapon from him. So let's go to Lord Shiva. So that night, Krishna and Arjun, just flying through the space with the speed of mind, appeared in Mount Kailash. And Lord Shiva was very pleased to see Krishna. And so Lord Shiva asked Arjun, "So what can I do for you?" So Arjun reminded him that you told me that I can get the Pashupat weapon. So I'd like to have it tonight. So Lord Shiva said, "Okay, go to such and such direction and you'll find the lake. And the weapon is there. When you go there, you'll find the weapon." So they went there, when they went to the lake, they found two celestial serpents with 1,000 heads were there on that lake, spitting out fire from their mouth. But when Arjun offered obeisances to them, then these two snakes transformed themselves into a bow and an arrow and urged Arjun to take them to Lord Shiva. So Arjun carried the bow and arrow to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva then, from his left hand side, a personality appeared whose complexion was white with a reddish tinge and a bluish neck. And that personality taught Arjun how to use that weapon. And so they went to the battlefield. So the next day the battle started. But Dronacharya arranged the army in such a way, and Jayadrath was right in the end of it. So to reach Jayadrath, that would mean the entire army had to be penetrated. Incidentally, when Jayadrath heard that Arjuna took that vow, Jayadrath wanted to run away. He said, "Let me go back home. I don't want to risk it." And Duryodhana said, "Don't worry, we'll give you protection. Our whole army will give you protection. There's nothing to worry." So this is how we also can see that when Krishna wants to protect somebody, nobody can do anything to him. And when Krishna wants to kill somebody, no one can protect him. So we'll see that very soon. So then Jayadrath was persuaded to stay and be there on the battlefield. And they thought that the whole strategy for that day's war would be to protect Jayadrath. And then if Arjun cannot kill him by the end of the day, then Arjun will die. Arjun will commit suicide entering into fire. And the battle went on. The Pandavas were trying to penetrate through that army. Arjun succeeded to some extent, but it was already in the afternoon and a long way to go. And they were just slaughtering the army and going closer and closer to Jayadrath. And it was already almost getting dark. Arjun couldn't come near Jayadrath. And then Krishna called his Jogamaya and told Jogamaya to create darkness. And all of a sudden, it became dark. And everyone thought, the sun has set. And the battle is over. Now Jayadrath has been saved and Arjun is now going to die. And when the Kaurava warriors were rejoicing this wonderful turn of event, And Jayadrath, like everyone, was off guard, including Jayadrath. And at that time, Krishna released his Jogamaya. And all of a sudden everyone saw that the sun is still in the sky. And Krishna told Arjun, release your arrow. But Krishna also gave him the warning that at the time of Jayadrath's birth, there was a forecast that he'll be a very, very valiant warrior, but in the battlefield, some great hero will cause his head to be severed from his body. So his father, his father, who was actually the king before, his father made a condition, or he kind of cursed that Briddhakshatra, his father's name is Briddhakshatra, that whoever will cause his head to fall on the ground, his head will split into 100 pieces. So Krishna told Arjun, be careful. This is the curse. So don't make his head fall on the ground. Keep shooting arrows until the head falls on his father's lap, who is meditating on the Himalayas. So Arjun severed Jayadrath's head from his body, and by shooting arrows, he made this head fly from Kurukshetra to all the way to Himalayas, where his father was sitting on a meditation. After retiring from his kingdom, he took Vanaprastha and he was meditating on the Himalayas. And the head fell on his head. And he was so absorbed in his trance that he didn't at first notice what happened. He didn't notice that the head fell on his lap. But when he opened his eyes, he saw his son's head lying on his lap. So with a start he stood up. And he made his son's head to fall on the ground. And as a result of that, his head split into 100 pieces. So this is how Jayadrath was killed. From then onwards, actually Kurukshetra, Battle of Kurukshetra was not that righteous battle that used the way usually they used to be fought in the battlefield before. You remember at the beginning of the war, all the two generals from two sides along with the commander-in-chief came and laid that condition, that these are the rules that they would be following. But then Drishtadyumna considered that Duryodhana is so devious, so wicked, so mischievous and so unscrupulous that he won't stick to fair way of fighting the battle. So he made a condition. He told them that if your side breaks this law, if your side takes to unfair means, then we'll also not follow these laws of this battle. So, and Abhimanyu on the 13th day, Abhimanyu was actually killed in an unfair means. Like when generally one warrior fights with one warrior, one to one. But Abhimanyu was surrounded by seven Maharathis. And it's also a condition that an unarmed soldier shouldn't be attacked. And they deliberately unarmed Abhimanyu, cut his weapons and then killed him. So that's from that time onwards it just went berserk. And so this is how Jayadrath was annihilated. And so and so that night they didn't stop fighting. After that, the war just continued. They fought through the whole night. And many of them, many of the principal warriors died in that night in that battle. And Bhima killed the Balikas, 10 sons, and he killed 10 sons of Dhritarashtra. Then Satyaki killed Somadatta. Krishna, Karna actually spared Sahadev's life. Karna could kill Sahadev, but remembering Kunti's, his promise to Kunti, he let Sahadev go. And but then that night Ghatotkacha was fighting in such a terrible way. Like, Ghatotkacha is Bhima's son through Hirimba. You remember Hirimba, the Rakshasi who wanted to marry Bhim after they escaped from the house of Shelak. So through Hirimba he got a son, Ghatotkacha, and Ghatotkacha was a powerful, very, very powerful warrior with a huge... He was a half Rakshasa. And he's a great combination, a combination of Bhima and a Rakshasa. So, and Ghatotkacha... Now, in the meantime, another interesting incident, just to remember. Karna had his... He was born with a natural armor and kundala, and nobody could actually kill him because they were impenetrable. So Karna was with Duryodhan, so it became a great concern for Indra. That how can Karna be killed as long as he has the armor? So one day, Karna was also very generous. In India, there is a very common understanding, Data Karna. Karna is known for his charitable nature, Danashil. So in the morning, Karna used to worship sun god. And after worshipping sun god, at that time, if anybody came to Karna asking for anything, Karna used to give it to him. So Indra approached Karna at that time as a Brahmana. And Karna asked, so what can I do for you? What can I give you? Please ask anything in charity. So Indra asked for his kavacha and kundala, his armor. And so night before, Surya actually warned Karna that Indra will be coming in disguise of a Brahmana. So become very careful. He'll ask you for that. Karna said, well, if he asks, then I have to give because that's my promise. So Surya tried to persuade him. Then Karna said, no, it doesn't matter. I will give him. And so Surya told him, okay, if you have to give it to him, then in exchange you ask Indra to give you his lance, his spear. That is invincible. That is, when it is used on somebody, he is bound to die. Nothing can saving. So Karna said, fine. So, and Karna actually, his armor was naturally a part of his body. So when Indra asked for that, Karna cut it open. That means he had to cut his flesh. So that's a Kshatriya. Often I hear that some people claim that, oh, I am a Kshatriya. The reality is, in the age of Kali, everyone is a Sudra. Asuddha Sudra Kalpahi Brahmana Kali Shambhava. So if you claim that you are a Kshatriya, then you have to be like that. You'll be completely immune to any pain. Like you remember Karna, when Parashuram was sleeping with his head on Karna's lap, Indra again as a terrible insect, worm, he came in, rather insect, and he started to cut through Karna's thigh and started to drill his bone. But Karna didn't budge. He didn't even shake his leg. And at that time, Parashuram, when he woke up, he saw there is blood. And he wondered what happened. And he saw that blood was dripping from Karna's, the whole place was soaked with blood. And he asked Karna that what happened, and he pointed out that some insect had gone into his thing and causing him to bleed in this way. And Parashuram said, you are not a Brahmana. Karna actually went to Parashuram hiding his actual identity, claiming that he was a Brahmana to learn the art of using weapons. And Parashuram taught him, thinking that he was a Brahmana. And he said, you are not a Brahmana. A Brahmana cannot have this kind of tolerance. And he cursed him, that at the most critical time, you'll forget what I taught you. You'll forget the mantra to use the weapons. So such a Karna was, this is a Kshatriya. Go into Mahabharata, you'll see they're getting pierced, like in the chest, in the head. Like there was one time, Dushasan shot 3 arrows onto Arjuna's forehead. But nothing happened to Arjuna. With us, just a little pinprick, and we start screaming and shouting. So that's the Kshatriya. Total immunity to pain. And they would rejuvenate, like they'll pull it out. And like it'll just become reorganized again, revived again, replenished again. So Karna gave Kavacha and Kundala, and in exchange he got from Indra the lance. And his plan was that he would use that lance to kill Arjuna. So the question actually came up at one time that Karna had that lance and it was meant for killing Arjuna. Then why didn't he kill him? Why didn't he use it against him? The answer to that Krishna, using his Yogamaya, made Karna forget about it every day. Karna, at the beginning of the day, he would think that, well, today when I fight with Arjuna, I will use it and I'll kill him. But Krishna made him forget. So that is how, when Krishna protects, no one can do anything. So that day Ghatotkaj was fighting so terribly, and Krishna was in anxiety that Karna had that lance. And so he used to make it a point that Karna would forget to use it against Arjuna. So that day when Ghatotkacha was fighting in such a terrible way, slaughtering the Kaurava armies, and even Karna's own life was at stake, Duryodhana's life was at stake. So Duryodhana told Karna, "Karna, please do something. Do something to stop this Ghatotkacha." So Karna took that lance given by Indra and he used it against Ghatotkacha. And it pierced Ghatotkacha's heart and went straight down to the earth and went inside and went back to Indra. So Ghatotkacha was dead. Everyone was so heartbroken. Yudhishthir Maharaj, even Arjun was lamenting, "Why did I get into this battle? Why did I wish I didn't get into this battle. See what's happening. So many of our relatives are dying." And Ghatotkacha, after all, he was his nephew. He had such an affection for him. But it seemed that Krishna was happy about it. So Arjuna asked, "In such a terrible situation, Krishna, you seem to be so happy." Krishna was expressing his happiness. "Finally, I am relieved." And everyone thought, "What's the matter? Relieved that Ghatotkacha is dead?" Then Krishna said, "No, I was in anxiety every day that Karna has this lance of Indra and he kept it for killing you. And now that it has been used on Ghatotkacha, you are safe now. I am relieved because of that." So in this way, by Krishna's arrangement, the weapon that was actually that was kept by Karna to kill Arjuna had to be used to kill Ghatotkacha. And so then on the 15th day, Dronacharya was fighting so valiantly. There was no way Dronacharya could be stopped. Then Krishna told Bhima and Yudhishthir. He told Yudhishthir, Bhima was there. He said, "Yudhishthir, in order to stop Dronacharya, we have to make him give up his weapons, drop his weapons. Because as long as he has weapons in his hands, no one can kill him. And the only way to kill him, only way to make him drop his weapons is to give him the news or tell him that Ashwatthama has died. Only then he will drop his weapon." Yudhishthira Maharaj refused to lie. He said, "No, I can't." So, in the meantime, Bhima thought he would go and give the news. So he went and told Ashwatthama is dead. But Dronacharya did not pay any heed. So at that time, in the Pandava side, there was one elephant called Ashwatthama, quite a well-known elephant of one of the great warriors, great generals. So Bhima went and in a flash of a moment, he killed that elephant. So, and now Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he went and reported that, "Please inform, now you can go and tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama is dead, because Ashwatthama is dead." So Yudhishthira Maharaj went and told, "Ashwatthama is dead, the elephant." So in Sanskrit, the expression would come, like in English it would be, "Ashwatthama, the elephant is dead." This elephant part would be in the middle, but in Sanskrit the elephant part would come at the end. "Ashwatthama hata," means Ashwatthama is dead. "Iti gaja," the elephant. So when he said the elephant, Krishna blew the conch shell. And nobody could hear that. And in the meantime, Dronacharya just dropped his weapon and he was meditating. He decided to stop fighting. And already the celestial sages, the rishis, came and told him to give up this unnecessary occupation of fighting. He's a brahmana. Why get into this kshatriya occupation? Just come back to us. So Dronacharya also thought, this is the... And he got into... He sat, dropped his weapon, he sat on a chariot to give up his body actually. He actually gave up his body. Dronacharya gave up his body already. But at that time Drishtadyumna came and severed his head with a sword. Everyone tried to stop him. Arjuna especially said, don't do that. And after that, Arjuna and Drishtadyumna got into a big argument. They were almost getting into a fight. Arjuna was criticizing him for doing that. So Drishtadyumna pointed out that, look, I was meant to kill this person. I appeared, my appearance is for this purpose. And then, in this anyway, then Satyaki came and pacified both of them. And but in this way, Dronacharya left his body. And after Dronacharya, Karna became the general. And that is, on the 16th day, Karna became the general. On the 17th day, the 17th day was a day of massacre. On 17th day, Bhima killed Dushasana. He already killed 98 sons of Dhritarashtra. So Dushasana, and as Bhima promised, took a vow that he would drink Dushasana's blood. So when he hit Dushasana and Dushasana was lying on the ground, Bhima jumped out of his chariot. With his bare hand he tore open Dushasana's chest. And as the blood came gushing out, Bhima just kept on drinking it. And finally Bhima said that, today I feel satisfied. All these years I am harboring this vengeance. The way we were insulted in the court after the deceptive game of dice. The way Draupadi had been insulted. So in this way, Bhima took revenge by killing Dushasana. You remember one snake called Ashvasena? He was the son of Takshaka. At the time of the burning of the Khandav forest, he somehow escaped. When his mother was carrying him inside her mouth, mother swallowed him. The body went upside down. His head went first. And when she was escaping, Arjuna severed her head and she died. But this snake, Ashvasena, somehow escaped. And since then, Ashvasena was dwelling in the lower region. When the battle of Kurukshetra started, Ashvasena came there to take revenge. His whole ambition was to kill Arjuna. So, that day Karna used a terrible weapon. That weapon was meant to kill Arjuna. And taking advantage of that, Ashvasena also entered into that weapon. It was a deadly weapon with this snake turned into a weapon. So it was released to kill Arjuna. Krishna saw that Arjuna was in danger. So what did Krishna do? He just pressed the chariot and the chariot went 1.5 feet under the ground. It sank. And as a result of that, that weapon, that arrow, just hit Arjuna's crown and took the crown off. It was foiled. So the snake again came back to Karna and said, please use me again. I am here to kill Arjuna. Karna said, I don't use the same weapon twice. So then Ashwasen became so furious that assuming the form of the snake, he went and attacked Arjuna. He's a celestial snake with thousands of heads. But Arjuna with an arrow just cut the body of the snake into pieces. So Ashwasen was killed. And then, towards the later part of the day, Krishna and Arjuna was fighting directly with Karna. Karna and Arjuna were fighting. A terrible fight between these two personalities. They were equally skilled in that warfare, art of warfare. Krishna sometimes was worried that maybe Karna is getting an upper hand. But then all of a sudden, Karna's chariot wheel sank, as if Mother Earth was grabbing onto Karna's chariot wheel. Karna was begging, please let me get my chariot out. Arjuna was lenient. He was saying, about to give that opportunity. But Krishna just kept on telling Arjuna, Arjuna, this person doesn't deserve any mercy. Just remember what he did when Draupadi was brought into the assembly. He was the one who was telling to bring Draupadi. He was the one who was telling that Draupadi should accept one of the Kauravas or become their slave and go into their bedroom. And this is how. And then he kept on telling, just remember how they killed Abhimanyu. This is the person who had done that. So although Karna was begging, and Karna was still fighting. With one hand he was trying to pull the chariot. And with the other he was still fighting. But he couldn't. And then finally Arjuna released an arrow, a very special Brahmastra, that went and took the life of Karna out of his body. And others, everyone could see that Karna's soul came out of his body and then went towards the sun planet, disappeared in the sun planet. So Karna was dead. Then the 18th day, the next day, Shalla was made the general. And in that day, in that battle, Yudhishthir Maharaj killed Shalva. And when in this way the whole army was, Kaurava army was devastated, then Duryodhan ran away from the battlefield. He didn't have a chariot, he didn't have a horse, he walked out of the battlefield. And he went to the lake called Dvaipayan Lake. And there he created a kind of a resting place for himself. Underwater, he was hiding there. So, and in the meantime, Kripa Kripacharya Ashwatthama and Kritobarma came there, and they were still trying to console Duryodhana. And Duryodhana said, "I am very tired. I need some rest." So when they were discussing among themselves, one hunter saw who is to supply the meat to the Pandav Bhima. So during the battle, there was to be suppliers. So this hunter was one of the suppliers. So he saw Duryodhana and Ashwatthama and Kritobarma and Kripacharya were consulting. So they went and reported to the Pandavas. So after getting the news, the Pandavas with their soldiers, with the army, they came there. And they could see the water of the lake was so still. It looked unusual. So Yudhishthira Maharaj kept on telling Duryodhana. So Duryodhana, come out. Don't run away from the battle. It's you who actually instigated this battle. And now you're hiding like a coward. So Duryodhana said that, I'm tired. Let me take some rest. You also take rest. Tomorrow we'll meet again. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, there is no need for rest. We'll have enough rest after we kill you. And so Duryodhana came out. Yudhishthira Maharaj told him that, Duryodhana told him that, I am alone. Please don't attack me jointly. Because if you jointly attack me, then I won't be able to defend myself. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, we won't not only jointly attack you, we will give you the choice. You can select any of our brothers, any five of us, and you can choose any weapon. And if you can win, then you'll be the winner. And we'll be the loser. Krishna got very upset. He said, Yudhishthira Maharaj, time and time again, you are causing all these difficulties. And this person is now begging that you shouldn't jointly attack. What did they do to Abhimanyu? Where was their morality? Where there was this appeal at that time? They didn't show any mercy to Abhimanyu. So why will you show any mercy to him? Kill him. And anyway, it was too late. Yudhishthira Maharaj already made the condition. So, but Duryodhana selected Bhima. And he selected mess. Gada. And the fight, when that was happening, Balaram just appeared there. And Balaram was, after a pilgrimage, he just came back. And so when it was told to Balaram, Balaram said, okay, a good place to fight will be Samantapanchak. It's a holy place. So they went to Samantapanchak, and Bhima and Duryodhana are prepared to fight with each other. Duryodhana, Krishna actually told Bhima, be very careful. For that last 13 years, last 14 years actually, when you were away in exile for 13 years, Duryodhana had created an iron Bhima. And every day he used to practice fighting against that. So when you were in the forest leading the life of a mendicant, this person had been preparing himself in the art of fighting with mess, with a simple intention of killing you. So be very careful. Bhima said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. my mace is 1.5 times heavier than his. And Krishna told, yes, Bhima, in strength you are more powerful, but in skill Duryodhana is better. So be careful. So they started to fight. The battle went on. They fought for a long time, and both of them were equally. Sometimes Bhima was under pressure, and the way it was going on, sometimes Duryodhana. Hit him on the head. Sometimes hit him on the chest. Can you imagine such? Now, probably it must have been weighing about 1 ton with that mess, being hit like that. But as I said, Kshatriyas, their bodies are made of iron and completely immune to any pain. Kept on fighting, nothing happened. So when nothing was happening, no one is getting the upper hand. Rather, it seemed that Duryodhana was getting the upper hand. So at that time, Krishna gave the signal. And Bhima saw it from the corner of his eyes. And so he made a move that made Duryodhana to jump up. And when Duryodhana jumped up, Bhima just smacked him on his thigh and broke his thigh. And his body fell with a broken hip, lying on the ground. And then Bhima went and kicked him on his head. So Balaram became furious. With his plow, Balaram just about to attack Bhima, and he was saying that, "I will wipe out the entire Pandava family." Krishna stopped him. And Krishna started telling what Duryodhana had done to them. And you are saying that Bhima has been unfair in hitting him below the belt. But consider how many times they hit them below the belt. And they had to tolerate. They cheated him so many times. And on top of that, Bhima actually took a vow that he would kill him by breaking his hip, breaking his thigh. And remember also that Jaimini Rishi also cursed Duryodhana that his thighs will be broken. When Jaimini Rishi was giving him good advice, telling to give the Pandavas the kingdom back, Duryodhana laughingly just slapped his thigh to show his insult, show his disregard for him, his advice. So at that time he told him, "I'll break his thigh. You'll die with Bhima breaking your thigh." And Bhima also took a vow that he'll kick him on his head. So for a Kshatriya to fulfill his vow is more important than anything. So this way Balaram was dissuaded. So Balaram left for Dwarka. And so now that they have won the battle, Krishna told them, so the final act of winning the battle is go to the enemy camp and take possession of the camp. So they drove the chariot to the enemy camp. And when they arrived in that camp, then Krishna, then Hanuman, who was on top of Arjuna's chariot, Hanuman left. And Krishna told Arjuna, "Get out of the chariot." And so Arjuna got down from the chariot. Then as soon as Krishna got down from the chariot, without any fire, in a moment, the chariot turned into ashes. It was consumed in a flash of a moment. So everyone was surprised. So Krishna said, this chariot actually was burned to ashes long time ago. But because I was on the chariot was still intact. Indicating that Arjuna would have been dead long time ago. It is Krishna who actually protected Arjuna all this while. In the meantime, Kritavarma, Kripacharya and Ashwatthama, when they saw Pandavas were coming, they just ran away, went inside the forest, and then they came out. And when they saw Duryodhan in this condition, they started to cry. And they all were very sad to see the king, the person who was ruling the entire earth. Now he is lying on the bare earth with his hips broken. And at that time Ashwatthama took a vow that he would kill all the Pandavas. And the other two also wanted to take revenge. So that night they were lying under a tree. Kritavarma and Kripacharya fell asleep, but Ashwatthama couldn't sleep. His heart was so afflicted that he was so furious that he could not sleep. With his eyes wide open, he was just lying on the ground. Then he saw that on the tree there are many, many crows sleeping. And all of a sudden an owl came and started to kill all those crows. In no time, killed so many crows. So seeing that, Ashwatthama got an idea that let's attack the Pandavas at night. So Kripacharya and Kritavarma did not approve of that idea, because they thought that attacking the sleeping individuals at night is not fair. But Ashwatthama kept on telling that where was their fairness when they killed my father in this way? So I must take revenge. So then Ashwatthama started to pray to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared. Now when they came to the Pandava camp, they saw that one divine personality was guarding the camp. And it was actually Lord Shiva's expansion. He had snakes in his body. His body was bare with fair complexion, white, milk white complexion. So Ashwatthama kept on praying to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva then came, and Ashwatthama expressed his desire to slaughter the Pandavas at night. He asked that he becomes invincible for that night so that he can kill all the Pandava soldiers. So he then entered into the camp. Yeah, and Lord Shiva actually gave him a wonderful sword. And Lord Shiva, others could see that Lord Shiva entered into Ashwatthama's body. So he actually empowered Ashwatthama in this way. Now Ashwatthama entered into the camp. He first went to Drishtadyumna's camp. He was sleeping. So he kicked him. And Drishtadyumna just woke up with a start, and he saw Ashwatthama standing there with sword in his hand. So Ashwatthama just kicked him out of his bed. Drishtadyumna tried to struggle with him, but Ashwatthama was too powerful for him at that time. And he put him on the ground, and putting his knee on his throat and kicking him all the time, hitting him all the time, he killed Drishtadyumna. Then he went to the camp where Draupadi's five sons were sleeping. So he killed Draupadi's five sons. And it was like he just kept on killing everybody. And those who tried to flee, Kritavarma and Kripacharya was standing with their bows and arrows at the gateway, and those who were trying to flee, they were shooting them, killing them there. So all the Pandava soldiers were dead that night. So anyway, so this is how, not quite, but the Battle of Kurukshetra came to an end. More incidents also happened, as you know. Ashwatthama released Brahmastra and he didn't know how to retract the Brahmastra. Vasudev came. Arjuna also released his Brahmastra, but on Vasudev's appeal, Arjuna retracted his Brahmastra. But Ashwatthama's Brahmastra, he didn't know how to retract. So he directed that Brahmastra to Uttara's womb. Parikshit Maharaj was there. So Krishna actually went and absorbed that Brahmastra. So in this way, the Battle of Kurukshetra ended. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.